The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is time to go outdoors. We had some snow cover, but so far so good on building ice on the lakes for all the anglers that want to get out there. And Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how's the bite been?
Not too bad, Steve. Good afternoon. I just got off the ice, just cleaned some fish right now, just in time to meet our 410. Bite's pretty good. It was a little windy out there today, a little fronty, and, you know, we did okay, but got great ice. I mean, we've got a good 11, 12 inches now in the North Country, 4 or 5 inches of snow, which is really fun to snowmobile in. And we've been taking the snowmobile out and, you know, busting up all that powder. It's so fun. It's just the conditions are just excellent right now, and there's some big wheelhouses out. I saw a few knuckleheads driving vehicles out across some of the lakes already as of today. And so, yeah, the legions are coming out. And I see warmer weather coming here in the next week. And I think you're really going to see a lot of participation. This, you know, Christmas to New Year's is really a big time for people to get out ice fishing. And right now it looks like the conditions are great. No hiccups, no heaves, no cracks. Everything is just settling up to be just really a perfect season. So very impressed so far.
Yeah, and Steve, mild weather for the holiday week. Not overly crazy mild, but that might spur the bite.
Yeah, you know, when you get a rising barometer like that and you get a little bit of a heat wave and 3, 4, 5 days of consistent 20s and 30s, there's no doubt that really accelerates the bite. So I think that's going to help a lot. And we got another week left of the bow season. The muzzleloader season is over, so we still have about 7, 8 days left. And now, you know, with this new snow cover, you know, you can see their patterns. You can see where they're going, where they're feeding, where they're traveling. So it's really a good time to be out there. And, you know, 25 degrees, 30 degrees in a tree stand is not so bad if you're dressed for it, but I really enjoy this time of the year when you've got just enough snow where you can kind of get around, not too difficult, yet you can see what their patterns are, which are very obvious right now, and, you know, where their food sources are. So a great time of the year right now, and, yeah, things are shaping up great, really, all the way around.
And, Steve, we always like to talk about new gear and being comfortable out on the ice. We talked about the portables. But big key with that is a heater. And you've got some recommendations on heaters because making it comfortable on the ice so you can stay out there and enjoy yourself without freezing is a big part of it.
Yeah, you know, heaters, Steve, have come a long way. You know, we used to have what was called a sunflower heater, which was kind of a big facing heater that we used to burn our clothes and burn our tents and, you know, start fires all the time. And you still see those around once in a while. They hook on top of a propane tank and very dangerous. And those are antiquated. If you have one, get rid of it because they are very, very dangerous. Now we have, you know, more modern heaters, especially little buddy, big buddy heaters, which you see everywhere. That's the most common heater out there. But really the big thing, Steve, is to get a carrying case for those heaters, because they are very sensitive to getting any kind of moisture on that ceramic front. And I see this happen to people all the time. Now that we have this kind of fluffy 4 or 5 inches of snow, when you're pulling your portables out there and you get any kind of moisture on that ceramic front, that is not going to light. And if you get out there without a heater, you're not going to last very long. Plus, the quality, you know, of these heaters is not the greatest. When you bounce them around and you're rough with them, that igniter pin that's down below by the ceramic can get, you know, jostled, and it won't light. I mean, they're very, very picky on, you know, how you treat them. So I recommend get a carrying case for those heaters and seal it up so you can't get any moisture on it, and then have a backup heater. Everything in ice fishing, you have to have a backup just because of the harsh conditions, and chances are you're going to have a failure on something. So I have a backup auger, backup heaters, and I keep a backup heater in my truck in case I have problems with my initial one, so I can get back and grab the backup, which is really important. And yeah, they're, most of them run on a 1 pound cylinder. They're very light. They throw out 4,000 to 5,000 BTUs on the average, which is perfect for portables. But yeah, they've come a long way. And also, they have the ability to shut off. If you move them, jostle them in the house, or even if they fall over, they will automatically shut off. And you don't have that with the old-fashioned sunflower heaters, which you don't want. If you have one, get rid of it, ask Santa for a modern heater, and you'll be very happy.
Well, and it, you know, the technology, we've talked about augers in the past. I mean, the old gas-powered augers, I mean, those were beasts, and trying to get them started and so on and so forth. I mean, the battery-operated electric augers, almost a miracle how good they are compared to the old days.
Oh, you got it, Steve. You're right on. You know, now with the advent of lithium, all the augers now have lithium batteries, which last, you can do 200 or 300 holes on one battery charge, which is amazing. And a lot of the new augers are very light, you know, 6-7 pounds, not very heavy, but very efficient. You're not spilling gas. You're not spilling oil. I mean, it's changed the game totally. And they're quiet. You know, that's important. You come in with a gas auger, you're going to blow out fish from 70, 80 yards around you from the noise. And these electrics are so quiet, and they hardly make any noise at all. And that's been a game changer as well. So it really doesn't matter what brand, you know, you're looking at. They're all kind of basically the same, priced about the same, and they all kind of do about the same thing. So if you're sitting on a gas auger, that's another one you should give to your cousin, because you don't want that. You don't want that.
or put it out on the corner and put a freeze sign on it. Just get rid of that thing. Hey, Steve, what do you got planned the coming week? I know it's Christmas week, and hopefully you get a little downtime.
Yeah, I'm going to head into the cities and see the family and the kids. They're coming in from out of town, and so we're going to do some ice fishing, and I really have to hit the bow season here just last week, and I really have one more tag left. I want to use that, so 30s, you know, are going to be perfect in the bow stand, so it'll be a really good week, and I'm looking, you know, at no travel issues really this whole next week, so I'm very optimistic. It's going to be good for everybody to travel and everybody to get their last-minute pheasant hunting, bow hunting, as well as ice fishing kicking off, which will be huge in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, great family activity is ice fishing. More and more families getting involved. We've talked about the growth of this sport as much as anything going on in the outdoors.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And you can tell by the clothing now that, you know, is out there for infants and little kids and, you know, for women's clothing. I mean, everybody's got, you know, very good foul weather clothing and good boots and good gloves. And it's changed everything. You see grandmas with grandkids and dads and moms and everybody out on the ice, especially when it's reliable ice and good ice. You know, that really brings the people out. And, yeah, it's really a family affair. And very fortunate that we have good conditions, because that really brings out the people.
Yeah, and it's been a couple years for sure. All right, Steve, good to visit with you. Merry Christmas. We'll do it again next Saturday, same time.
All right, Steve, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney and Steve Kearney Outdoors. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow between 5 and 6. Rob Drew's line, Outdoor News. Full hour, great guests, a lot of great info. and that is Rob in the Outdoor News tomorrow between 5 and 6 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. The Wild are struggling. We'll sort it out with Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It has been a struggle for the Wild as of late. Is it too early to panic? Maybe. And we're joined by Jess Myers, who covers the club for the Pioneer Press online at TwinCities.com. And Jess, I think it's way, way too early to panic, considering the great start this club got off to, especially on the road. But this latest homestand, not good.
No, you know, for whatever reason, this has been a much better road team this season than they have been a home team. And part of that is just out of necessity. You remember in October, they had that 7-game road trip. So they had to figure out ways to win on the road or they wouldn't be winning. So is it too early to panic? I think so, just because of the simple fact that they had that great start. They've built in a little bit of cushion now. You know, and I asked some players about that a couple days ago. You know, have you built in a little runway for yourself? They all kind of bristled at the notion that there's any kind of cushion, because, you know, every game you go out there wanting to win, you don't think that, oh, you know, we can take tonight off or anything like that. But I guess I'm not panicking yet, just because the simple fact that, you know, the elements that were in place to get them to this point are still obviously in place, and I think they're still in pretty good shape.
I won't call it a swoon, because it's probably too early for that. But if you kind of go back to the last road trip, second night of a back-to-back, they got beat by a solid LA Kings team, who, by the way, are great at home at Crypto.com Arena and won it 4-1. Then they were able to come back and get an extra point in the shootout at Utah, and then the blowout to the Oilers. Is there anything in that stretch game that stands out to you?
You know, just the only thing that stands out to me is the fact that this is a team that's beat up right now. And, you know, they talk about their depth and they talk about next man up and, you know, all those good things that you hear whenever a team goes through injuries, and every team does. But the simple fact that you take Philly Gustafson out of this lineup for the last three games, and he had been playing so well for them in goal, and then you take Joel Eriksson Ek, their top line center, out. And I like Marco Rossi. I really do. He's a hard-nosed player. He's a great player. But he's also, you know, about 5'8", 5'9", in that range. You know, he's not a big dude. Whereas Joel Eriksson Ek, where you put him at that top-line center, you have that extra size that is so important when you're looking at a top-line guy, that I really think that has made a difference in the fact that, you know, they haven't had Eriksson Ek here for the last week, going on week and a half. And that's really hurt them. Now, the encouraging sign is we saw Eriksson Ek. We saw, you know, some guys at practice yesterday skating just kind of on their own, but working their way back slowly. I don't think we're going to see any of them before the Christmas break, but we are seeing some encouraging signs that this team could get back to a more realistic picture of their roster here, you know, maybe before the new year or maybe very early in 2025.
Yeah, and Jess, on this homestand, the 7-1 loss to the Oilers, that can happen. It is, by the way, the Edmonton Oilers. And then they came back, beat Philly 4-1, and then they lost in the second game of a back-to-back at home. A very good Vegas Golden Knights team, 3-2. Then the blowout loss to the Florida Panthers. But you look in that 3 of 4, those clubs are Stanley Cup contenders. Oilers, Knights, Panthers. I mean, that's about as good as it gets in the NHL.
Yeah, and we talked about this previously in this great start that they had gotten off to. Maybe one of the areas of concern if you're one of those fans that looks for the, you know, the pessimistic note, the dark cloud. Yeah. And let's face it, I've lived in Minnesota a long time. We've got plenty of those around here. You know, we've all been stung by a certain team in purple, and you know, we all saw a team that plays at Target Field have a, you know, about a two-decade losing streak in the playoffs. You know, whatever it happens to be, you know, we've all seen some tough times as Minnesota sports fans. So there's a certain element of the audience that looks for the pessimistic note. Well, if you want to look for one, that's maybe what you can point to with this Wild team. Is they've gotten some good wins, some quality wins, some road wins, all of that. But when you look at their record versus Vegas, Dallas, Edmonton, Florida, you know, some of the better teams out there, 500 against a few of them, and the fact that they, you know, haven't been able to beat some of those teams. Tonight is a real test playing Winnipeg, the team that's leading the Central Division, the team that's, you know, bursted out of the blocks. And, you know, we've never seen a Winnipeg team play this well, this consistently before. Going into their barn tonight, Jesper Wallstedt in goal, you know, another tough road test for him as a young guy kind of trying to find his way as a prospective every night NHL goalie. You know, this is going to be a tough one. And, you know, talking to the players last night, after a hard-fought loss where they didn't play badly, but gave up a power play goal late, which has been an Achilles heel for this team lately, they all pointed to, hey, we got a chance to go back and you know, play well in Winnipeg and forget about this one, which I think they're all kind of looking forward to in an odd way.
Yeah, and I love this rivalry. You and I have talked about it before, the Winnipeg Jets, the Minnesota Wild. This is a tremendous rivalry, and there's a lot of Jets fans that come into St. Paul and make it fun. I don't know how many Wild fans are going to make it north of the border to Winnipeg, but this is a good one.
Yeah, this absolutely is. And it goes back, you know, for me personally, being from northern Minnesota, you know, we'd go up to Winnipeg more often than not, you know, right after Christmas or right around Christmas time and go see the North Stars and the Jets. That was always kind of a fun rivalry. Maybe not as intense as this one has become, just for the simple fact that the Wild and the Jets play in the same division, so they're jockeying for playoff position, whereas the old version of the Winnipeg Jets were always out in the Western Division, it seemed like, or playing more of the Canadian teams. But yeah, this is a fun one, and you know, this Winnipeg team is really good. They've got maybe the best goalie in the NHL in Connor Hellebuyck, and you know, it seems like this is where Bulldogs go when they go to the pros. A lot of UMD players on this roster, so yeah, this is a fun one.
Yeah, and a couple other things before we run out of time. They come right back home after this brief trip to Winnipeg and get Chicago on Monday night, then a break for the holidays, and then the Dallas Stars loom. This is a tough stretch of games for this club. Now Chicago's certainly not up there with Winnipeg or Dallas or Florida or Vegas or Edmonton, but you know, you got the Stars looming right out of the holidays. And that, after the 3 days off for the holidays, that's a tough road game out of the break.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Dallas is a very good team. They're dealing with some injuries, too. But that's a fun one. And, you know, Chicago, you talk about, you know, the Blackhawks aren't a real good team right now. But, hey, you know, the Bears aren't a good team either. But if you don't get up for a Minnesota-Chicago game, you know, forget about it. Kind of the purity of sports in this part of the country. You always want to beat a team from Chicago, right?
Yeah, and Jess, your thoughts on college hockey. That game to close out the series with Michigan State, that's about as painful as it gets for Golden Gopher hockey fans. That was,
you know,
ugly.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Now, the saving grace is it's not like you lost to a bad team. You know, Michigan State is really, really good and has, I think, the best goalie in college hockey in Trey Augustine. I ran into one of the Gophers just kind of randomly. Saw him at a restaurant, and you know, I won't say who, but we had a nice little talk, and they said, you know, it's almost advantageous to go into the break coming off a loss like that, because it's a little reminder that, hey, nothing's going to come easy. You can't ever let your foot off the gas. You know, it's one to kind of to stew on. You never want to lose a game like that, but that's maybe one that you can sit and think about for a couple weeks and come out of the blocks with a real good start in the second half, which they're going to need.
I work with a couple of hardcore Golden Gopher hockey fans, and they've seen it all over the years, and they say that one, it's you know, giving up the four over the final 9 minutes, if memory serves, that's tough.
Here's the tough one, talking to some other folks who follow this team pretty closely. You scored 6 goals last weekend on Trey Augustine, who I think is the best goalie in college hockey. You scored on him 6 times. You got 1 point out of it. That really hurts. You know, when you get 6 goals on Trey Augustine, you should get a little more out of it in the standings, and they just didn't.
Yeah, and by the way, one of those was an empty net, in all fairness. The four over the final 9. All right, Jess, always great. Good to visit with you. By the way, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's to you and yours, and hopefully we can visit again soon.
Always great to talk hockey. Happy holidays, Steve.
All right, there he is, Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press. Covers the Wild, and they have a tough one that begins at 6 in Winnipeg, a day off Sunday, and then Chicago in town at the X on Monday, final game before the break for Christmas. Then they'll be in Big D to play the Stars on Friday before coming right back here. Ottawa and Nashville coming to town to close out 2024 in St. Paul. It is 4:31. We'll have the weather in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. College football playoff today getting big-footed by the NFL. We know late in the year the NFL has Saturday, Sunday, Sunday night, and Monday tilts. But the timing, in my opinion, couldn't be worse for college football as they try and get this new 12-team playoff format started. And you had a game on Friday night, and that was a yawner as Notre Dame took down Indiana and Chili South Bend. Really a boring football game last night. I tried to give it a chance. Indiana ended up losing by 10, 27-17, but it never really felt like they were in the game. It was very unusual. So kind of a dud of a start, even though you're at South Bend. You have Notre Dame. You have upstart Indiana. In-state rivals going at it, so to speak. But Notre Dame will advance. But the problem with today is you have the college football playoff and 3 games today in this opening round going head-to-head with the NFL. And in the NFL today, you already had 2-time defending Super Bowl champ Kansas City win again. And anybody who thinks that Kansas City isn't for real, or they've done it with smoke and mirrors, or this late in the year, the worst one-loss team in the history of the NFL. Sure, they got lucky to beat the Raiders. There's no doubt about it.
It was a glorious game, Steve. It was one of the greatest football games of all time. You can't discount that. That's why they won the Super Bowl. And is it Patrick Mahomes' ankle going to slow him down at some point? Are you worried about that at all? Because this is like the 3rd or 4th postseason that they're going to head into with an ankle problems with him.
You can't count him out. I don't think, based on what we have seen to this point with Mahomes and Andy Reid, and you got Travis Kelce, who I think is starting to lose his step. He's not as dominant as he once was, but you still have Mahomes, injured or not, and Andy Reid, and you can't count them out. They are 14-1, and everybody I talked to says, I don't think they're that good. They're 14-1! And they have a gigantic target on their back. As 2-time defending Super Bowl champions, I don't know how you can discount what they've done. Now, I know there are a lot of people that hate the idea that Kansas City could still go to the Super Bowl and win another Super Bowl.
I want to stop hearing about the stupid Patriots. I really do. I want a more recent dynasty to rise above. But it looks darn good because it just feels like everybody else in the AFC, especially when you talk about the AFC North, they always just beat up on each other. And so is it a dance in Buffalo just like every other year? And is this the year that Josh Allen finally gets it done? I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so because he has had an MVP year. He has been so good this year. But if it continues on this track, Josh Allen would likely have to go to Kansas City and beat Mahomes at Arrowhead to get to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not counting out Baltimore, with all due respect to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and John Harbaugh is a terrific coach there. There are other teams that have a shot in the AFC. But in my opinion, you can't count out Kansas City, even with Mahomes banged up, and maybe he doesn't have the weapons that he has in the past, and Travis Kelce is getting long in the tooth, not maybe quite the player he once was, but you know they still won football games. And Houston's a good club, and they win it 27-19 today in the early game. And then Steelers-Ravens right now, and the Ravens lead it 14-7, and that is just an old-fashioned AFC rivalry. Of course, it used to be the Browns, not now the Ravens. And the Steelers are a good club as well. Two playoff teams, the way it looks going at it today in Baltimore, and we'll keep an eye on that. And then, of course, the Vikes play in the late window in Seattle tomorrow. We'll talk more about that. But I don't know about you, Lindsay, and for college football, this is the worst-case scenario, because you have Kansas City going in the early game. You got Baltimore-Pittsburgh in the late game. By the way, Houston is a very good team as well. So you have four legit playoff contenders going at it head-to-head with the college football playoff. It's just a nightmare scenario for this new format, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to get off to a good impression. Like you were saying, that game last night with Notre Dame didn't exactly like punch anybody in the mouth. But I think we're all kind of feeling out this first iteration of it. There's a lot of pushback of that NBA Cup when it first came out. And then as the weeks went on, people became a little bit more warm to it. And maybe as these games continue throughout the next couple weeks, you have a few more, a little bit more variety in performances, and you get some of the big names out there. But you're absolutely right. The NFL knows how to counteract, and typically they wouldn't do this because that you're kind of biting the hand that feeds you in terms of the college games. But it's so big. Everybody's got three or four TV screens. You can put it all on there, and they know that they're going to get that rating. And so it's inevitable at this point.
Yeah, it is, because college football, obviously the minor leagues, but the NFL says, you know, we have television partners that are writing checks for billions of dollars, and they want this programming. So it, without question, overshadows that college football playoff. And we will have those scores, but tough weekend to start, especially with the matchups today. I mean, you could have Giants Jaguars today and you have a better chance.
Come on. No, yeah, nobody's tuning into that, Steve. Zero people are tuning into that.
What I'm saying is, though, Lindsay, is that would be good for college football.
Yeah.
If you had a dog matchup. Like tomorrow, 325, Jags Raiders from Vegas. Now, that's a game you'd want to go head-to-head
against.
Thank
God I'm not there anymore. It would have been an awful game to cover that. Oh, yeah.
You know, or even, you know, tomorrow, noon game on CBS, Titans-Colts. You know, you go head-to-head with Titans-Colts for sure, but the matchups today a little tough for the college game. All right, let's get to some of those scores. By the way, FCS, three area teams in action, and one is done. North Dakota, South Dakota State, the defending champs in Fargo earlier, 28-21, so North Dakota State on to the FCS championship game. Of course, they owned that for years before the Jacks kind of took the reins. But now the Bison are back, and they'll likely play Montana State, who are beating South Dakota today, 31-14, that game in the second half. And let's see if we've got an update on that. It was 31-14 in the third. I think they've gone to the fourth now. Nope, still in the third. 31-14, Montana State leading that, so they would play in the new year down in Texas for FCS. All right, on to the playoff. We already talked about Notre Dame winning the snoozer in the cold over Indiana. Texas leading Clemson 28-10 in Austin at the half. The Longhorns the number 5, the Tigers the number 12 seed. Tonight, number 9, Tennessee, at number 8, Ohio State. That'll be a dandy tonight. Look forward to that. Once again, the Vols and the Buckeyes from Columbus tonight at 7 o'clock. That'll be on ABC. And then early in the day, number 6, Penn State, rolls over SMU 38-10. So a Big Ten team is through to the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. So I think you're up to date on all the scores. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and get into something really important. We talked about the college football playoff kind of getting a tough draw today with their three games going up against two very good NFL games. But college football needs to get their act together. I know everybody hates the portal, but it's here to stay. Players are going to move. But I think for the good of the players and the good of the schools, we need some sort of framework of a deal. And I'll get into that deal in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. There are a lot of ideas on how to fix big-time college football. And the one thing I think anybody will realize is that over the years, money under the table had an undue influence, that the big-time programs with the big-time reputations had superior facilities, superior money, bigger money to recruit. Now some of that money that maybe floated under the table is now all out in the open, and some of the traditional powers still have those great advantages that players coming out of high school want to go where they can win and get more exposure, etc., etc. Now there's the name, image, and likeness money. You have the transfer portal, which is a real game changer. And I'm not going to rip on the transfer portal per se, because the freedom of player movement strictly mimics the freedom of coach movement. Coaches would recruit a player and then take a better offer and a better gig for more money somewhere else, and the player was stuck for all practical purposes. And I never felt like that was fair. But now that we have free movement of coaches, we have all this money out on the table, and players getting deals into seven figures now in some circumstances in college, we need to get to the point where there's some order to the madness. And I'm not a lawyer, and I understand it's more cut and dried when you have the NFL. You have 32 clubs and their owners, and then you have the Players Association, and they're able to strike a collective bargaining agreement that says, here's how much money the players are going to get in the form of a hard salary cap. They're going to get X amount of revenues, and then the owners get the rest. That's more cut and dried, because all these players are under contract with the clubs, etc. There's a lot of lawyers involved, but there is a collective bargaining agreement. But what I would propose is that something needs to happen like that in major college football, where all the institutions get together, and then the players who play for those institutions are part of a union. Now, I know they don't want to be employees. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's been a lot of articles. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, should college athletes actually be considered employees? But I think at some point in time, the players will need to band together to form a bargaining unit, whatever that looks like, and the institutions will need to get together and form a bargaining unit, and both parties will need to agree on some sort of structure to limit the chaos that we have right now. Because I think, number one, it's alienating fans. And while I say, hey, player, you don't like your situation, you should be able to move on. But this idea that, you know, players moving on and the team's going into the playoffs. Yeah, I'm going to take a better deal somewhere else. I think there has to be, when does the portal open? When does the portal close? What are the rules governing that movement whatsoever? I think it's crucial that there is some order here, while being fair to the players and the schools. That's the challenge in all of this. But what's going on right now is absolutely nuts. All right, we got to run. We have the news. We have the weather at 5. And then we'll talk a little MLB and Twins baseball with Phil Miller here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.